the teaching series for the month of August. By the way, were you blessed with the teaching series in July? We talked about greatness. It was titled Thoroughly Furnished, the School of Greatness. Listen, see, our teaching series have been designed with an intent. Are you hearing me? There is an intentional design to it. An intentional design. So if you followed from January, we talked about roadmap to divine emergence. And then February, we talked about love. Midweek services was for the believer's walk of love. And then Sunday services was about choosing your partner. What does it mean to be a single, the beauty of singlehood, red flags in relationships, and all that kind of stuff. March, we talked about growing up spiritually. It was a whole teaching series on how to grow spiritually. April, we talked about gospel, this gospel. In May, we began to talk about practical faith, how to apply the gospel to your life. And in June, we shifted into life in the spirit. Are you with me? Because in the teaching series in May, when we talked about practical faith, we began to explain that you cannot really practicalize your faith in Christ Jesus without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And then we talked about the Holy Spirit or life in the Spirit in June. And in July, we started talking about greatness. See, you see this last July's teaching. Go back and listen to it. You can't, nobody will say, Pastor did not try. God did not use Pastor for me. No. Everything you needed from that teaching series, the answers are there. I'm telling you. The series are designed in such a way that once you are done with 1 year, something heavy should have happened to you. But the problem is that it is possible for you to be going and you have not really caught what is really going on. It's possible for you to be going to church or coming, but your mind has not really opened to it. And I pray that from today and this teaching today, something will happen to you in the name of Jesus. So, can you put that sold out background again? You see, one of the most important things or most important assignments of leadership in any system is direction. Management is for stability and continuity. But you see, leadership is for direction. Where are we going to? And why are we going there? Praise the Lord. And so, after all we've talked about, I went to pray. And in prayer, the Lord led us in this direction to talk about what it means to be sold out. I know, who has heard that terminology before? It's an old sense terminology. You are sold out to God. And so, I will not assume you know what it means. I'm going to explain. Please, are you with me? Because at the core of what God has asked us to do is to raise disciples. You know, see, can I be honest with you? I have questions. Questions I ask God. I ask God questions like, there are so many churches. And from this teaching and many others, you will find out the answers. See, let me tell you the answer before we get there. There are many churchgoers. There are few Christians. Do you hear what I said? In fact, there is a large population of people going to church and they don't even really know what Christianity is. If you ask them, you know what people, the larger bulk of people think Christianity is? They can summarize their Christianity into this song. If you do good, kingdom, oh, kingdom, oh, kingdom waiting for you. If you do bad, no more kingdom. No more kingdom waiting. That is the summary of some people's Christianity, beginning to the end. But I pray that from today, your understanding will be enlightened. Your eyes will be open to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Our teaching series is designed that if you follow it, number one, you'll become solid in Christ. And number two, every area of your life will change for good. I'm telling you. Oh, I've touched it. I've handled it. Every area of your life will change in Jesus' mighty name. So, when you hear the word sold out, what comes to your mind? Many things can come to your mind. Let me give you something you can relate with. Maybe you are a businessman or a businesswoman, and maybe as a businesswoman, you have a provision store, a supermarket. And then you stocked your supermarket with all kinds of things, clothes, shoes, beverages, tea, utensils, and all of those kind of things. And then one day, that will be your testimony shortly in Jesus' name. And then one day, you had so many customers to the point where they bought everything and the shop was empty. I said that will be somebody's testimony in Jesus' name. Oh, you don't believe it? Oh, I've seen things like that too. Where a woman was prayed for. They prayed for our shop. The man of God prayed for our shop. As they left, somebody came with truck and emptied the shop, bought everything in the shop. Don't play with God, though. You think it's a joke? Bought everything. So you can say she sold out. Are you with me? She sold everything. So if you went to her shop and asked her, do you have any other thing to sell? She'll tell you, I don't have any other thing. I have sold out everything. Are you with me? Another idea of being sold out is when, you know, those, what they call movie tickets. You can go to buy movie tickets for, it's actually common abroad. And at the point, they have sold out all their movie tickets. No ticket again. Everything is sold out. And no matter how much you beg and cry, no other ticket is sold out. Are you getting this? So sold out means everything is gone, nothing left. But you see, when Jesus died for your sins, he has bought you. And he bought everything. Are you with me? He bought everything. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What does it mean, which are God's? It means they belong to God. Are you with me? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Which will remain again? Everything. Which are God's? Are you getting this? The Christian ought to be sold out to Christ. It's our default state. Oh, is what's supposed to be normal. You know, I'm going to hold a program very soon. Maybe in 2 years' time. I'll call it normal Christian life. What does it mean to be a normal Christian? Because right now, what we call normal Christianity is what some people call you want to be a pastor. They call it pastoring. Ah, oh, you want to be a preacher. Now that's why you're like that. It's just normal Christianity. Are you with me? Yes, you know the painful part? Some people have never been normal. They have never been normal Christians. They have been abnormal. Some of them is because of the church they started with. They started with an abnormal church. Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? An abnormal church, abnormal teachings, abnormal lifestyle, abnormal destiny. Our default state as a Christian ought to be sold out. It's our standard. Say after me, it's our standard. Say it again, it's our standard. Being sold out to God is the standard. And let me show you from the Bible. Matthew 13 verse 44. You know, the Lord sent me to Abuja with a discipleship mandate. Amongst every other thing, to raise him disciples. And since I came, I understood. Because let me tell you something. Ah, my God. Well, if the church does not intentionally raise disciples, we have a problem.
if we don't raise disciples intentionally, we have a problem. It will show. It's already showing.
For instance, I want to ask you. Answer me honestly. When last did you see a comedian online or on any public space making a joke about an Islamic rite? When last? Or even any other religion, when last? Look, have you seen something like that before? No, answer me. When last did you see something like that? But call any comedian and say, you know, one day I go one church. That's how they start. I go one church and the pastor say, please, are you with me? That's the level. People don't know the difference between sacred and secular. For instance, if I say there's somebody here, someone say they won't start. Because you think it's a joke. Praise the Lord. You know, there was one day when our church started in Port Harcourt. We had a crossover night. And in church, we were just three. Just three people in church. Myself, my wife, Minister Isaac. That's currently in Lagos Church. We are just three in the crossover night. Our first ever crossover night. And when I came in for the crossover night, I just felt like, Kai, so is this how we're going to do crossover night? I said, well, you have called us, Lord. So in my mind, I was feeling like, God, are you sure you are with here? Are you sure you are here with us? As our number is this. So while I was praying and preaching, I got to a point, I did like this. I hit somebody. I opened my eyes. There was nobody there. I closed it again, praying. I went to that point again to be sure it was not a mistake. The person was still there. I opened my eyes. There was nobody there. The third time, the person was there. I rounded up and left the stage. Pastor Faith, now my wife, Sister Faith, that was what she was then. She went up to lead prayer. And while she was leading the prayer, she said, the Lord is here. So I was like, what does she want to say? I hope it's not that same person. She said that while I was standing here, somebody touched me. I said, I said, wait. So while we were there, we thought we were just three. In the spirit, you counted wrong. People have become too careless. They don't understand. You are talking about the Father of spirits. You are dealing with God here. They are just careless about everything. He says, I don't like this church. I'm not attending church again. They made me vest. And they go to this other church. You don't know. You know, when preparing this teaching, I was asking the Lord. I was talking to Jesus. I said, Master, what is teaching? You know that this teaching, it doesn't really, there's way people act towards it. They act somehow towards it. He said, don't worry. Anybody should teach what they want to teach. They will meet me at the judgment seat of Christ. So don't worry, we will still meet at the judgment seat. Matthew 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. Can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3, go. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, pay attention to this. What did he call it? He says, this is the kingdom of God, or this is the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me? Yes, sir. What did he call this? The kingdom of heaven. So he's saying, if you want to describe the kingdom of heaven, this is how to describe it. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy, not for sorrow, not with complaint, not with by force, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath. So are you seeing the concept of sold out here? He sold all he had and bought it. So if we look at you, can we claim that this experience has been made manifest in your life? Has the kingdom of heaven become such a treasure to you that we can say this is what commands is all? If we shred you into pieces, well, you see, if we begin to break you into your minutest atom, what are we going to find? Wait, see, if we break down all your pleasures and priorities and purposes, are we going to find at the very core the kingdom of God as a treasure to you for which you sold all you had and got it? You know why I love the Bible? It was Jesus that said, this is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what this means? You know the consequence of this? The consequence of this kind of teaching, the consequence of this kind of teaching is that if you claim to be in the kingdom and this experience cannot be traced to you, Jesus says you're not in the kingdom of heaven. Please, are you with me? You know, yesterday I went out for evangelism. And when I go for evangelism, it's easy to spot Christians or people or churchgoers who have not found the kingdom. Let me tell you something. You know why this is important to me? Jesus said, sometimes I ask myself, this Bible, you sure say, are you sure people read this Bible? Jesus said, in that last day, there will be some that will say, Master, we did this in your name, and he will tell you, I don't know you. Do you know that there will be people that will go to church from hell? There will be deacons in hell. There will be pastors in hell. There will be people who are known for activity, but will be found in hell. Do you know that? Because to them, they thought it is my baptismal certificate that will give me access to heaven or access to eternal life. But Jesus is already, people say, you don't know what will take you to hell. You don't know what will take you to heaven. I have taught all those things before. If you study the Bible, you will know straight. From this one, you will know. Just ask yourself, if we check you, what is your treasure? The men who will enter eternity treasure eternity already. So why did Jesus call this the kingdom? So that you will know the standard. The Bible is written in black and white, so you will know the standard. It will be there like this. And before, when I preach like this, before I used to feel like when I'm done with the preaching, I will go back to my closet. I'll be like, why, Pastor David, you were too hard. Why did you preach like that? Until I saw something in the Bible, I will show you. When I saw what I saw in the Bible, I'm like, no hard past Jesus. You know, people say, I want the Jesus of the Bible. All these pastors, they are fake. All these pastors, they are preaching. Are there pastors that are fake? Plenty. Are there pastors that are preaching rubbish? Plenty. So all these pastors, I want the Bible Jesus. Let me show you Bible Jesus. Our Lord and Savior. Luke 14, verse 26. Luke 14, 26 to 33. God will help me finish today. Luke 14, verse 26 to 33. I will read. Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. But sometimes, picture yourself. Just, this is why they killed him. He used to say things that time that you're like, please check. Are the boats still in order? Just imagine. It's now we know by revelation and by the documents of history that he was actually God.
But just imagine, you just saw, maybe you came to this church, and then you saw me in a white robe and long hair, and I say, unless you hate yourself, hate your father, hate your mother, hate your children, you cannot be my disciple. Some people will just stand up and say, your father. And as you can see, we are going farther away from you. Just imagine. No wonder the disciples say, we will die with him. I used to think I was hard. When I read that thing, I said, wait, too. He said, you hate yourself too. And Jesus not even break it down to explain. Actually, what he was trying to do was comparison. That, you know, there is a way some people can love spaghetti. You would think they hate Eba.
I don't know if you are with me.
So it's not like an outright hatred of your relatives. But he's saying when you compare your commitment to God and to every other thing, it will be... Your commitment to other things will be called hatred because of how much you are going to be committed to him. Jesus is saying that if you don't hate like that, or if you don't show that kind of commitment to me, that when you compare it to your to your commitment to your father, your mother, your brother, your children, your wife, it will be called hatred. Say, you cannot be my disciple. Hey!
So, calculate how many disciples do we have?
No, think with me. And this is why, as a pastor, I take this work with trembling, because what God demands from the people, what God is saying, then he goes on. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now look at verse 28. Have you read this verse 28 before? Some of you have heard it before. Let me explain it in context now. Verse 28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That means, you know this story they used to say is use it for wisdom. When you want to do something, sit down and count the cost. The real context of this story is Jesus is saying, when you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you count the cost. You see that and say, come. I did ready. You count the cost to be his disciple. And you see the bad part of it? The cost of not being his disciple is more expensive than the cost of being his disciple. Oh, yes. The Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Nothing. Meaning, according to Jesus, if you gain the whole world and you are not his disciple, you still lost. And if you look at it from this natural base eye of things, you would think, what kind of calculation is that? But when your eyes are open to what eternity looks like, you will get the message. Praise the Lord. Say after me, sold out. Greater consecration. And so, this month we have titled it, sold out, greater consecration, greater evangelism. Amen.
Amen.
When you count the cost, I know it everywhere is solemn. I knew it would be like this. Because at this point, we have reached a stage in the history of the human race that This is not the time to be sugarcoating truth. Jesus is coming. The signs are too much. The signs of the master's return are too much. I have been waiting for AI for more than 15 years. I've been waiting for it because many years ago, I had a dream. In the dream, I was in a car. I was talking to the car. The car was driving me. So I woke up from that dream. I was like, what kind of thing is this? It looked very stupid. What kind of dream? I told my friends, which kind of mumu dream I get just now? I did. It was like, I beg, throw it away. It is happening now. And guess what? Many more is coming. Oh, many more things are coming.
Praise the Lord.
I remember one time, now I was in secondary school, not too long after I just got born again, I was praying and I slept off. And I saw the rapture. I can't count how many times I've seen the rapture. It's a real thing. It's coming. I and my friend, James, we're just talking. We're just talking and gisting. And while we're talking, the Lord appeared in the sky. The Lord Jesus appeared in the sky. And while he was talking, he was trying to say something, but what he was saying was sounding like trumpets. So it now made sense when you see 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the trumpet of an archangel. And I and my friend, we left the ground. We didn't try to. We just saw ourselves leaving the ground. That dream was even funny. Because eventually, we both left the ground. Me, I now came down back. I came back and later I got what God was trying to show me. I began to see what was going to happen. So I was walking around and then you need to see accidents. In split seconds, drivers who were Christians and left the cars began to run into themselves. Cars began to have accidents. Immediately, plane crashes. In split seconds, the planes were crashing. Next thing I saw was the news. They were announcing strange disappearances of people all over the world. And they titled it, religious fellows call it the rapture. Strange disappearance. You see that thing that happened in Endgame? That, if you watch, who watched Marvel Endgame? You see that thing where somebody did like this and people disappeared. Half of the world disappeared. See, even technology and science is preparing you for what is coming. Let me not talk too much. If there's any time to get serious with your Christianity, it is now. And I'm not just trying to scare you so that, you just start walking sanctimoniously. Listen, this is your key to the best life, both here and the world to come. Are you with me? I'm telling you, your best life, both here and the world to come, is in what I'm sharing with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Close your eyes and say after me, in the name of Jesus, I will be sold out to Christ. From this season, Lord, I will be sold out to Christ. He said the kingdom is a treasure. A treasure. Can you imagine a man that understood how gold and silver? So when he sees the real thing, he said it is worth it. Sell everything and buy it. You see that song we sing, something more than gold. I've got something more than gold. It's not a joke. It is real. What we have found in Christ is more than gold. It's definitely more than gold. More than silver. Amen. Don't worry, we'll continue on that. But that's the basic introduction. That's the basic introduction. And let me now switch to my emphasis for today. So, one of the first signs that a person is being sold out to God is that you will be ablaze for God. Say after me, ablaze for God. Say it again, ablaze for God. And I called it fuego. It's a Spanish term for fire. Say after me, fire. Now, when you read the Bible, you will discover that in the Bible, there are many times where the nature of God, the presence of God is alluded to fire. You will see
Exodus chapter 3 from verse 2. And the angel of God began to speak out from the burning bush. The bush was burning and it was not consumed. And God spoke out of the midst of the bush. Are you with me? The Bible says he maketh his angel spirits, but his ministers flames of fire. Praise the Lord. So, one of the very first signs that the man is sold out to God will be that he is ablaze for God. What the old saints call on fire for God. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? So, I'll quickly run through what I can call the signs of being ablaze for God, and then what you can do to have it. Amen. 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 Somebody is wondering, Pastor is teaching very calmly today. He's intentional. I don't want to rush. I want to take it small and be sure that by the time you went home, you can remember everything. Amen. Amen. So, what are the signs that the man is on fire for God? Number one, a deep love for God. Say after me, deep love. Say after me, deep love for God. Say it again, deep love for God. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 22. You know, I got born again August 2005. When I look back over these 20 years, I wish I got born again and serious with God earlier. He changed everything. Oh, he changed everything. You know, I've shared my personal story here before. Some of you have heard it more than a million times. Before I got born again, I was on the verge of atheism because my father was a missionary. He was a mission. He was what you can call a missionary evangelist. And one of those days, when preaching, we came back, not in the night, in the afternoon, and some strange-looking human beings opened the gates for us and brought out guns and began to shoot. They shot this man to the point where there is no way he could have recovered. Are you with me? Shot him so much. And then I said, okay, if he was serving God, why did he die? You know those kind of questions. Why was he killed like that? And questions. You know, there are some things you cannot get the answer at the time you're asking the question. It took me years to find out why later. But then somewhere 2005, around January, February, I began to read the Bible. I began to ask myself, what if this Bible is true? Because before, maybe they've been preaching to me. They've been trying to preach to me. Take God serious. And when they're preaching to me, I'll tell them, you cannot know God more than me. My father is a pastor. You know, they are trying to quote the scripture. You know, the Bible says, I say, you want to quote John Abbey? Imagine you're trying to preach to somebody. Then the person is not quoting the scripture you want to preach to him. I say, I want to quote John 3. You want to quote John 1. Now say, oh, sorry. So they gave me one name, Rugged Pastor. Rugged. But reading the Bible, when I encountered the Lord and he began to speak to me, I began to be led by the Holy Spirit. I began to ask myself, what have I been doing since? The first 5 years of that, my journey with God, when I became serious, it didn't really look like anything material was happening, but something was happening inside of me. My habits began to change. I began to experience what it's called to be a new creature. My desires began to change. And then when it was as though God had walked inside of me first, my love for God, before, you know, I remember those days where when they want to punish us, growing up in a Christian home, when my parents or my uncles, they want to give you punishment, they'll tell you, go and read 10 chapters of the Bible. Who knows that kind of thing? Punishment, 10 chapters of the Bible. You see us crying. Because you know, to finish one, you will sleep like 50 times. You read one chapter like this. And God said to Moses, take the rod and knock on his head. So you wake up from sleep.
But then, my desires changed. I began to read the Bible all night. All night praying, I began to see the treasure inside. Then somewhere 2010, God began to, the way the Lord began to change my life, like this, pa, pa. It was then it dawned on me that it does not take God anything to make a man great. It doesn't take any God anything. I was just somewhere. doing evangelism. I came back so much. I know you. Ah, have you not entered school? Come to my house. Ah, so I've gone to his house. He said, where is your mother? You need to go to university. You know what? Remy, come. Give me money. 2009. Imagine 2009, 100K was then. They gave me 100K in bunch like this. I'm like, 100K now, 1 billion. You are entering flights tomorrow. Virgin Atlantic, you are going to so-and-so university. That's how I went to university. By the next day like this, I was in another state. I saw overnight like this. Bah, 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 bah. Finished from school. Let me tell you. You better take God serious. When I came out from school, I didn't spend more than 2 months at home. I got a job. Worked the first one. Went for NYC. Came back. Worked again. Worked. I found out. When the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The problem is, people are more concerned about, and all these things shall be added unto you. They're not saying God. I'm telling you, they're not saying. That's why when it looks like God is taking time. You say, Abeg, Babalawode. He that serves God for riches will serve the devil for better riches. Do you hear what I said? Deep down, that's why most of our sermons and teachings are aligned to when you praise him, you will get a raise. If there is no way you can connect it to what they can get initially and immediately, it does not make sense. When you praise him, you get a raise. Only those who live holy will be transformed holy. God will transform. So it's always like it's a trade and barter system between God. Okay, God, I give you holiness, you give me something. I give you praise, you give me a raise. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? It's called cash and carry. That is not Christianity. I'm telling you now, that is not Christianity. Now, the twist is, will God do it? Yes. Can God do it? Yes. But is doing it the only reason why he died for you? No! He's after your soul first. Are you with me? And until you come to this point, you will see every other thing in Christianity as a burden. That is why when we talk about giving, until you tell some people that if you don't tithe, the devil will tight your life. They will squeeze your demons will squeeze your neck. Until if you don't give that siege, there will be a siege. You have it always has to be about something that if they don't do, it will be. But there is another place in God. I'm telling you where I live. I live in an effortless rhythm of grace. I can't explain some testimonies. If I tell you some testimonies, you will see his blood money I'm using. When the Lord asked me to come to Abuja, I was praying. I said, Lord, see, as simple as you ask a Christian, when last did God speak to you? When last did God, God led you to do something, an impression? I was praying. I said, God, you have asked me to come to Abuja. That means the car you gave me, I have to bring it to Abuja. Abi, he said, yes. I said, okay, so which car will my wife use? He said, I'll give your wife a car. I said, you mean it? I'll give her a car. The next day, you were there. The next day, somebody called me. He said, I don't know, something has been stopping me. He said, send me your account number. Send me 4 million naira. Trust me. You think Pastor if you carry for me, I can buy a car. I went and bought camera for church first. I ran straight, went and bought video camera. Bah! 1.9 million. Bah! Bought camera. And I called my wife and said, you know, please, you know, this one will. Thank God she understands. By the next 2 days, there was car. Now, hey God, I've not shared this testimony out like this before. Oh, if Port Harcourt people remember, they just saw car. Since that time, the human being that sent me that money, he has not sent me one cobalt again. No. So it's not like he has, I was, me and him were close, you know, you're my guy. So we are lobbying. Let me tell you, there is something called the commanded blessing. Where you are not trying to do it. It's not that you are nice. The person is good to be nice. I'm not saying you should be rude. It's not that, make I greet her now. This big man, where they church? This big man, where they my corner? Make I greet her now. May yours consider me. You don't know. There is a way God will put something on you. Even the people that are angry, say, we don't even know why we're helping him, but just, you're helped. Just be helping you. They're angry. They're angry, but they're helping you. You see, this is the side people like to hear. Please, are you with me? It doesn't take God anything. You know, I'm sharing all these things. So you know that when the Bible says it's a treasure, it's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. Maybe this is for somebody. That struggle is over in the name of Jesus. That struggle is over in the name of Jesus. That person asking God, when will I get a job? This week, your job is gotten already. You received that job this week. In the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the first signs that you are blessed for God is a deep love for God. Is that tell me deep love? Say it, deep love. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Do you know what that means? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. It means that one simple way to know that you will be accepted at the coming of the Lord is if you love Jesus. Let me explain more. Anathema maranatha means condemned at the Lord's coming. Anathema means a man is condemned. Maranatha means the Lord cometh. So when he uses the two words together, he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be condemned at the Lord's coming. So if we check you and you don't have a deep love for Jesus Christ, he's saying already you know where you stand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be condemned at the Lord's coming. So one of the major signs that you are even in the faith is that you love Jesus. Can you really say you love Jesus? Now, you must not give me an answer. If there is fire, it will show in practical love for the Lord and the things of God. Love will show in desire. Love will show in sacrifice. Love will show practically. Amen. You see, somebody say, you love Jesus. To even raise hand and worship God. Lift your hands. Yeah, God, I love you, Lord. But that guy, when he sees his babe coming, hey, baby. He said, come and give Papa a hug. Come. No. So you know how to express. That means expression is not the problem. Are you with me? It is love that's the problem. When his team scores, nobody will tell him to lift up his hand and say, goal. When last did you hear somebody, they score, then the coach that says, lift up your hands and shout go. No, just imagine it happens in a lift up your hands. You say, wait, we did church. Nobody tells them, lift up your hands and shout goal. Nobody tells them, jump on your feet and run around. Do you realize that's what we do in church? We tell them, we are trying to tell, oh God. Lift up your hands and worship. Lift up your hands and shout goal. Whereas at salvation, the ultimate goal was scored. And you come to church. Woo! You are. Ask your neighbor, do you love the Lord? See,
When love is abundant, sacrifice is easy. Oh, yes. When love is abundant. Hi. Jesus. When you love somebody, you won't even know when you will start liking what the person likes. You don't, love is a strange thing. You know? There was a girl I liked in the university one time. Me that I don't need to like you are going and bread. This girl will talk about it. That you are going is the best food ever. And you're like, what are you doing? You're going. When I said I could not convince her, one day I said, let me just try it. Omo, I ate you are going. It was the sweetest thing. You know what was happening to me? My taste buds changed. Love, do me something. Hey, Jesus. Malia Kabo. Malando Kaburia. My taste boy, I just called her. Let me not call her name. Even my wife, we send me text message. I called her. I said, see, we're going. That thing you said is true. My God. This food. Love made me. Because I love her, I started loving what she loves. How can you love God and not love what he loves? How can you say you love God and the things that he loves? You know I'm talking about this thing. When you slice me and enter inside, this is the core. This is what you find. You know, a minister met me one time and he said, Kai, man, I bet you inspire me. Like, where do you get money to pay for all these things that people do? My mind. I'm like, so that's inspiration. God knows, I never came into ministry because of money. I was working in the oil industry before I came into ministry. If it was money we're looking for, oh my God. There's something called oil money. You don't understand. At the stage where I resigned, I was supposed to be a well-tested supervisor. The next job I was supposed to go for, that I was supposed to go for, like, before I resigned, like, the next job, I was going to be getting 20,000 per day. Naira. That was one job. The one outside Nigeria, $200 per day. 2019. But the kingdom of God is a treasure. It's a treasure. Before I used to say, now I look back, I don't regret nothing, nothing. It's a treasure, and it's not everybody that will have to resign. Some of you need to be there so that you be partnering with what we are doing here. Amen. You better say that amen. No? But no, I love the master. So when the master said, give me everything, it's time to surrender all and be full-time pastor. I love the master. I want him to have souls. See, there are some songs we used to sing those days. Must I go, oh, empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I go, oh, empty-handed? Must I go, oh, empty-handed? We will sing that song, pray and go for evangelism. Put tracks at the back of your trouser. Anywhere you go, in the office like this, anybody that you see that has time, you give him. Twang. You must collect. Now that we have Christians, you have been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years. You cannot remember preaching to 10 people. I not seeing there is a problem. Ask your neighbor, where is your fire? Amen. If there is fire, it will show in your love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. Listen to this, so. Romans 5 verse 5. It says, and hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. So, the agent for this love in our hearts is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in our hearts that begins to make us love God. And remember, it is this same Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles and they began to see fire on their heads. Are you with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19. First Thessalonians 5 verse 19 says, quench not the spirit. So he's comparing the person of the Holy Spirit to fire. So if you have this fire, you are also going to have this love that is shed abroad in your heart. I know I was fast, but I'm trying to tell you that if you have the Holy Ghost which produces fire, it will also show in the love of God in your heart. The love for God in your heart. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 1, I'm going to read to verse 4. It says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, look at verse 4. Traitors, people that can slide people very well. Heady, high-minded, read the last part, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. One of the ways you know a man loves God is when he has to sacrifice a pleasure he has for God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There are some people, they don't know, they can never come out of their comfort zone. Never. Church is too far. There is always an excuse. Always an excuse. Preach to this person. No. But you can talk about MMM. Cybex. You're an evangelist. It's just that you don't. Your priorities. Where you. He said, don't worry. If you bring two people, they will give you one thing to the account. Help. Say, if you bring four, they will give you this. You will not know when you became an evangelist. You told eight. Before you know, you have gone up the ladder. You have told 16. You are an evangelist. It's just that gospel never enter your heart. Where? That takes me to the next thing. The second sign. You know why I'm trying to explain this like this? Because most times, when we hear fire, the fire of God, you know what they think? All that comes to their mind, say, that guy is on fire. In church, he does like this. Olua, 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 Olua. And while there's a place for prayer fire, while there's a place for, oh my God, while there's a place for all of those things, I'm telling you the real indicators of spiritual fire. When you see a person has the fire of God, I can't finish everything, but time keeps running. Once the message starts getting sweet, time has gone. That takes me to the next thing. Passion for the lost. When the fire of God is strong on your heart, when the fire of God is strong on you, passion for the lost. Passion for the lost. When you see people who are not saved, how do you feel? But when the fire of God is on you, in fact, I even say this. If the fire of God is not yet burning in your heart, just go for evangelism. You will come back. You will be stead. Just go and preach to people and see how lost people are. You know, we need to ask ourselves questions. So, if the Bible is true and it is true, does it really mean that all those who don't believe in Jesus, they are going to be eternally damned? Yes. 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 If that is true, we need to ask ourselves questions. All your Muslim friends, what's the plan? Now, it's not even about the title. Even it's not even about, I'm Muslim, I'm not. Think about it. What do they really believe? It's not a joke. No, it's not a joke. If it is true, this year, Bible Illumina, I'm going to talk about something, investigating Christianity. So, we're going to start with questions like, is there a God? How can we prove scientifically that there is a God? Is the Bible true? Why should we trust the Bible? Because some people want to say, what if the Bible is not true? What if the Bible is a fairy tale? You will find out. Are you with me? We're going to not that day we may not even open Bible. We'll just go scientific throughout and break it one by one. It's called apologetics. October 1st, investigating Christianity. Your passion for the lost.
When last did you preach the gospel to somebody? The Bible says in Ephesians, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened? You who were dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 verse 1, has he quickened? Do you know what that means? It means that when a person is not saved, he's not just somebody walking around doing bad things. The Bible says he's spiritually dead. He's dead. He's in corpses. He's in a, what you can call, he's a corpse inside a casket. And the casket you see is his trespasses and sins. What you are seeing as his sin or as the things he's doing wrong is a proof of something deeper inside, that he's actually dead. And you have to go to them and say, Christ has died for you. He died to take your place. All men, because of their sins, are condemned to die eternally. Listen to me. Listen to me. All men are condemned to die eternally. All men are condemned to suffer eternally. All men are condemned to eternal sorrow and destruction. But Jesus came and took that place for you so that you will not have to go through that. In fact, that is the basis on which we can say you will not suffer anymore here. You can reject poverty. You can reject sickness because he has taken it for you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Your fire for God is ignited. Your fire for the Lord is ignited. Your passion for the lost. I'm tempted to go back to love for God. I wish I can just talk about it a little bit. How many of you, Christians, some of you have had this experience before. Has it happened to you before where you did not pray in the morning and towards the evening you felt like, why have I not prayed? Like something was dragging you inside. Like, I rushed to talk about prayer. Let me go normal first. You've not talked to your babe since morning. You and the girl, you are dating. Then, morning till night, she did not call you, you did not call her. If both of you are fine like that, that's an abnormal relationship. Is either one of you is dating yourself or husband and wife? 2 days you have not talked. No talking. 2 days. That's a lot, Abby. Wait now. You want to deny me? That's a lot, Abby. Yes, just 2 days you did not talk to your husband, you did not talk to your wife. And you are fine. But do you know there are people who say they are Christians 1 week? 1 week. Thank God for online prayers now. So we all wake up, carry phone. Up and grateful. That's the prayer. It is either you are not born again at all. Jesus is not in you. Or you have found a way to quench the spirit. Yeah, you quench it to the point where when the Holy Ghost is speaking, you don't hear anything. The earphone cut, you cut the wire. Bah. How can you go 1 week? No sermon, no Bible, no prayer. Nothing. We should check is either you are not saved or there is something wrong. Number two, passion for the lost. Amen. You know, the Bible says they shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be a witness unto him. He shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me. For instance, you know, if all of you, God forbid, but someone once asked me, he said, if all the churches of New Breed, Port Harcourt, Lagos, and our newest church, Abuja, if all the churches shut down, what will you do? To me, what will I do? I'll go and start preaching again. You just see me on the road like this, with one bag of flyers, and start preaching again. The Holy Ghost, see, the Holy Ghost will stir the passion to. Yesterday, in fact, people in my estate by now, they should have marked me already. I have tracked in my car. Once I sight you, a young person that I can approach, because there are some, as I'm coming like this, they already marked me. So once I see that, okay, yeah, this one does not know me yet. As I'm coming like this, excuse me, my name is David. I'll try to be very mellow, female. I will preach to you. Just give me the chance. Give me chance, so I want to preach to you. Passion for the lost. Because I know that, listen,
Anybody without Christ is not just somebody who doesn't agree with me. He's going to be lost eternally. And don't even bring up that argument. They will see my life. They will just see me and know what Christ has done. I want to ask you a question. Imagine I buy an iPhone for you and keep it. And I don't tell you. And then I'm expecting she will just see me and what I've done for her. Somebody say sharp. No, they say she will just see me and know. It must be proclaimed. And let me tell you something. Don't try to overdo. You know, Jesus said, if you go to a place to preach and they don't accept you, dust your feet and go. The power is in the message, not in your appearance. Even though your appearance is important, but the power is in Christ. Just talk. Are you with me? Just talk. If they don't agree, oh, thank you. God bless you. But passion for the lost, it is, see, one of the theologians said, nobody is permitted to hear the gospel twice until everybody has heard it once. One theologian said, Henry Martin, he said, the Holy Spirit is the missionary spirit. The more of him you have in you, the more missionary you become. Because they understand Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. You will be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. As you are growing in the Lord, as you are growing in the Lord, that passion to see the lost, that's what brought me here. It's not like I woke up one day and said, which business I go do? Car business. No, you know, go say, no, food business. No, no, no. No, church. Now, church, go walk. Make I do church. That's not how we came here. No. As I grew, a time came like I knew that one-on-one evangelism, it is good. But how are we going to reach more people? How are we going to raise people to win the lost? I had my own plan, but God said this is the way to go. My plan was that I would become a billionaire in the oil industry. Then I'll use my money and be running crusades back to back. We will still do it. Amen.
Amen.
God. The next thing, you have a greater resistance to sin. If the fire of God is born in you, a greater resistance to sin. Before, it was easy to just give in. Now, you have greater resistance. Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Or, put it like this, because the love of many wax cold, iniquity abounded. You know, let me tell you something. God. Some of you have experienced what I'm saying before. If you listen to worldly music, you know there's a difference between secular music and worldly music. A, B, C, D, E, F, G is secular, but it's not worldly. Nigeria, we hear the... It is secular, but not worldly. If you listen to worldly music, I don't want to... You know what worldly music is? They describe a woman, head to toe, talk about front, back, all those kind of things. If you do that, after a while, your interest in the things of God will start dying. Check it very well. I was once there, so I can tell you. It will be difficult to come to church and sing the songs of the Lord. The things of God will start looking tiring and burdensome to you. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And so, when the fire of God is igniting the love of God within you, it produces a greater resistance to sin. Number four, it will bet growing interest in the things of God. Number five, it will bet a greater manifestation of dominion. God help me. A greater manifestation of dominion over darkness. So, we are saying that when the fire of God is strong on your life, there will be a greater manifestation of dominion over darkness. Put Obadiah chapter 1 from verse 17. Obadiah chapter 1 from verse 17 to 18. It says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Hey, Jesus. I said you will possess your possessions. I will keep talking about this until we change. Let me tell you something.
This, what just happened, is a sign.
When your spirit man has been activated, you respond faster. You know, I've told you that story before. Derek Prince. He said when he was 17 years old, he was praying one day. And, you know, some of you think this thing we do when you say jump, shout glory. You think it's just useful. They're just trying to. He was praying. And then, while he was praying, his hand just went into the air. And he started shouting, glory to Jesus, glory to Jesus. Glory, we have the victory, glory. And then he heard a voice from him, from heaven, speaking to him. And said, today, I delivered you from the spirit of stiffness. He was like, what does that mean? He said, stiffness is the spirit at work in the unsaved that makes them slow towards the things of God. It's the reason why God will tell somebody, do this thing, and they will take 20 days to do it. They are slow. God will give them instructions. Start this business. Go and start this business. They will wait 1 year, 2 years. They are slow in the spirit. Have you ever heard the Bible say things like, they are dull of hearing? Or they are slow of speech. They are slow. God will say something. Have you ever people say things like, they had a dream. They woke up, they didn't understand the dream. You heard it, you understood exactly what it means immediately. They will have the dream like 3 times. They don't understand it. It's stiffness in their spirit. What they need is fire. Some of you, you need that kind of fire now for your future. That kind of fire now. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. It says, but upon my Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of new bridge shall possess their possessions. You possess your possessions in the name of Jesus. Verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. Amen. And the house of Joseph a flame. And the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. What is he saying here? He's saying that when the fire of God begins to burn in your life, all the things that look like the work of darkness, it will begin to be burnt away. Yes. You know, there are some people, you can pray for them and say, receive a miracle. And in the spirit, they actually received something. But there are other things that people don't consider. They may be a demonic spirit. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They can be a demonic spirit manipulating it. And then, something that's supposed to happen is almost there, never there. Almost there, never there. But when the fire of God is at work, it will begin to burn all those things. All those chaff, all those rubbish. In the name of Jesus, fresh fire comes upon you. You become a blaze for God. And you see the trick? The same fire that powers the love for God is the same fire for dominion. Yes. The same fire that powers the passion for souls is the same fire that burns away sickness. Father, in the name of Jesus, that slowness, you have been believing God for something. You are here listening to me. You have been believing God for something. And it seems like it has been so slow. It has been so slow. It has taken months. More than 6 months. More than 7 months. More than 8 months. Going to 1 year. In the name of Jesus, fire begins to answer. Fire begins to answer. Fire begins to answer. Fire begins to answer. It begins to burn off all the ashes. All the slowness. All the sliminess. In the name of Jesus, you receive your job with speed. You receive your healing with speed. You receive your testimony with speed. You receive your change of level with speed. Whatever God has not planned that is uprooted from your life. In the name of Jesus. So how do you get a place for God? We're going to continue this teaching Wednesday, Sunday. But where does it start from? Number one, it starts from revelation. Proverbs 26 verse 20, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife sees it. The real substance of spiritual fire is revelation. First of all, by revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then subsequent revelations of the word of God. That's where fire begins from. There's some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You know that deep in your heart, you cannot really say there is something really stirring you up towards God. And it's not like you're a bad person. It's not like you don't believe in Jesus, but the passion is not there like that. You need more revelation. That's what you need. Are you getting me? More revelation. Luke chapter 24. You know those, when those men, the two men that were talking with Jesus on their way to Emmaus, from Luke, in Luke 24, from verse 31 to 32, you see that account there. What they said that happened to them. So Jesus was talking to them and he was explaining Christ from the Old Testament to them. And they said, did our hearts not burn while he spoke to us? Was our hearts not burning while he spoke to us? So that means if you can study the Bible and just read the Bible, it will stir up fire from within you. Jesus. It will stir up fire from within you. I know this service is kind of long, but God is showing me that, listen, we stand the risk of becoming fireless as a church. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. You can remember sometimes where you felt like you had the passion for God. You felt like you had the zeal for God. You felt like it was there, but now you are just there. You are just 10 minutes prayer, you are tired. There has to be a change, and it begins from today in the name of Jesus. Close your eyes and raise your hands and pray with me. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. Let fresh fire rest upon me. In the name of Jesus. Fresh fire rest upon me. In the name of Jesus. Fresh fire rest upon me. Holy Spirit, I am ready for a change. Holy Spirit, I am ready for a change. Can you begin to pray right now? Sapara kapalan bande repele ketelia, shembra kapalan daga balatai, shembra ketete belega sheketelia, sabara kapala gadabisa, leke belega dede belega sheketelia, saparanta kapai, leke belega de sheketelia, zapalataya.